Hello and welcome to Start and Keep Going. I'm Molly Cash, certified life coach, and this podcast is for you if you want to try something new or do what you're passionate about or just feel more confident and alive. I am here for you. Today, I've been working in my dining room and I have a great view out the window of the mountains right by where I live. And today, I don't know what it is, something about the sunlight and the clouds. It is the most gorgeous thing. We've had some rain lately and the mountains are looking extra green. I've just been sitting here looking out the window and marveling at the beauty. I love where I live and I hope you do too. Today we're talking about feeling your feelings, and this is important for three reasons. Probably more, but I'm going to tell you three. One is that feelings are part of life, like it or not. There's no getting out of that. Two, if we don't let them serve their purpose, we come out with all sorts of mental, physical, social, and other negative consequences. And three, when we learn what to do with our feelings, we reap huge benefits in all areas of life. So first, we're going to talk about what feelings are. And I need to note here that for today's purposes, I am using the words emotions and feelings interchangeably, just so that's clear for today. But we'll talk about what they are and why we need them. Then we'll go over ways that we commonly mismanage our emotions. And then go over how to actually feel your feelings in three easy steps. I also have at the end one kind of emergency tip for emotions that will come up. So what are feelings anyway? When something happens, or even when we think about something happening, our brain triggers a response in our bodies. Chemicals are released throughout our bodies, not just in the brain, and we feel something. We feel physical sensations, like maybe a tingling in your legs, or tightness in your shoulders or your stomach dropping. And we recognize these sensations as a feeling. Sometimes we're more aware of them than others, but we have feelings for a reason. If you think about early residents of Earth who found themselves frequently running away from wild animals in order to stay alive, their emotions definitely helped them. If you hear the roar of a lion, or you see a bear coming toward you, you're going to feel fear. And that fear inspires your body to get going. The physiological response of fear prepares you to run for your life, or to fight whatever animal is about to eat you, or whatever you need to do to stay alive in that moment. So it's easy to see why we humans have emotions built in. And even though our lives are pretty different now and we don't often find ourselves in that same kind of immediate physical danger, although sometimes we certainly do, there are other kinds of danger. Danger to our well-being, to our health, and our emotions are key in informing us when something needs to change. Unfortunately, besides those times when the fight or flight response really is appropriate, we don't usually really learn how to manage our emotions. And so they often aren't able to be helpful to us in the way that they could. The first way we tend to mismanage our emotions is to just act on them. React to them, obey them, whatever you want to call it. You get angry and you want to punch somebody, and then you actually punch somebody, you're going to have some negative consequences from that. Our emotions fire so quickly, and it can be easy to just act them out without even thinking. And, you know, sometimes that works, but often we end up regretting something we said or did, and relationships can suffer, or we end up being destructive in some other way. These are the more obvious consequences of not managing our feelings, but they also can show up in more subtle ways when we are living our lives at the effect of emotions without really even being aware of them. So that would fall into this category of reacting to or obeying our emotions as well. Because there's a lack of intentional thought or choosing the way that you want to move forward despite what you're feeling. It's just feel it, go. And a lot of the time we're not even aware that we're doing that. Which is why it can be so helpful to talk things out with somebody, to slow way down and try to understand what's going on in your head so you know what kind of emotional state you're operating from and can make changes if you want. Another way we mismanage emotions is to avoid them. We don't like how sadness feels, for example. And so maybe we eat ice cream to literally distract our bodies from feeling the sensations of the emotion of sadness. And yeah, it kind of works. It doesn't last. The Ben & Jerry's runs out long before the sadness does, but it momentarily provides some relief. But it's not really managing your emotions. It's just avoiding them. This avoidance can also be called buffering, and I have a whole episode on that. Episode 3, 5 tips to avoid buffering. So check that out if you want more help with that. But the third common way of mismanaging emotions is to resist them. This is sort of like avoiding, but it's a little bit different. Rather than avoiding the feeling, just kind of ignoring it, resisting it is more like trying to fight it off. I like to visualize this as though you are holding the door shut against somebody who's trying to get in. And if you're holding it shut, they're just going to push harder. You can only hold the door shut for so long, but the pressure just builds on the other side of that door. This could look like having fear about a presentation you have to give at work. But you don't want to be afraid. And so you're telling yourself, don't be afraid, don't worry about it. And of course, when you're telling yourself over and over, don't be scared, don't worry, that's what you're focusing on. And so of course you're going to worry even more. And now you have anxiety about your fear. That's that pressure building, kind of escalating that your emotions do when you don't let them in. I've done this a lot in my own life. Sometimes with my husband, where if he does something that I don't like and I'm a little mad about it, but I think, oh no, I don't want to be mad at my husband. And so I kind of shove that down, push it away, don't allow myself to feel that way. And generally what happens is the anger turns into resentment. Instead of this short-lived kind of blast of emotion, it's like a slow burn that's always there and starts to affect all of our interactions. I would much prefer the one-time anger and get it over with. That's not to say that I'm going to act out on that anger and have explosive behavior, because that would be the first kind of mismanagement of reacting to the emotion like we talked about before. But other times when I have been able to allow the anger without reacting to it, without acting it out, I just let myself feel mad and acknowledge that I feel mad and it's okay to feel mad, and then it's over. And yeah, I still have a problem to address, maybe, but it's not still fueled by that anger. And so I've been able to think things through and think, okay, why was I mad about that? And is this a problem that needs to be addressed? And if so, let's have a conversation, but it's a more useful conversation because it's not being pushed by anger, but it's also not backed by years worth of resentment from trying to hold the anger back. When we resist our emotions, they just intensify. They sometimes morph into other emotions, and then we have a whole stack of emotions that we haven't dealt with, and they're not going away until we pay attention to them. So here are three easy steps to actually feel your feelings. It's pretty simple. I shouldn't say easy. It's simple. It's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. So step one is to name the emotion. It can be difficult sometimes to find the right word, but if you start with the basic feelings, like think inside out characters, you can kind of go from there and say, well, it's not sadness exactly. Maybe it's hopelessness, or maybe it's despair. And it might seem like splitting hairs, but it can be helpful to really get the right word. So name your emotion and tell yourself, I am experiencing despair. Emotions by nature don't last forever. Even the word emotion comes from the idea of movement, suggesting that it's something that moves through us. It's not forever, and it won't damage you. And so I like to tell myself, okay, I'm experiencing sadness or disappointment or anger. So that's step one. Step two is one that a lot of people have a hard time with, just because we are not used to doing it. But it is to notice what it actually feels like. And I mean in your body. Try to describe it as though it's something nobody has ever heard of. And you have to say what it's like. It can be helpful to ask yourself questions like, is it hot or cold? Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it moving or staying still? What part of my body or what parts of my body do I feel it in? Step three is to just stay with it. An emotion has come for a visit, and you got to entertain it for a little bit. Stay with it and keep observing it. Watch what it does. Maybe it was heavy like a stone before, but maybe now it's liquid and moving around a little bit, flowing through you. Maybe it's moved from your neck to your shoulders. Maybe it felt really black before, but now it's fading to gray. There's no right or wrong, and there's no code of interpretation of what this means or anything like that. Just the practice of observing it, it does a couple of things. One, it brings you into the present moment where you're not thinking about anything that happened in the past. You're not worrying about the future. You're just right here, right now. And the second thing it does is give your full attention to the emotion. And your attention is what it needs. So it can run its course and you can move on. So stay with it, watch it, see it all the way through. And just repeat those three steps as often as the emotion comes back. I'll say them again. Step one is to name it. Tell yourself, I'm experiencing, insert emotion here. Step two, notice it in your body. Describe it any way you can. Step three, stay with it and see it all the way through until you no longer feel it. And I don't mean until you no longer feel it, like, ever. I just mean in that moment. This generally, for me, doesn't take more than a couple of minutes. Sometimes it's longer, but for the most part, when we can give our full attention to really feeling and experiencing these feelings, they don't ask that much from us before they've done their job. All right, so here's my tip for when you're feeling an emotion that's kind of intense and you don't have time for that. It is similar to what I would recommend with a toddler who really wants a fruit snack and you don't have a fruit snack right now. If you just ignore the toddler, they're not going to stop asking. They're going to get louder, right? So what I would recommend instead is to acknowledge the toddler. Say, I hear you. You want a fruit snack. That sounds like a great idea. And right now we don't have a fruit snack. So we're going to have one later. But I hear you and I know that's what you want. And if need be, you can do the same thing with an emotion. I see you, shame. I know you're there. I know you want my attention. And I can't give you my full attention right now. So I'm putting you on a shelf and I will come back to you later. And just like the toddler, if you say, yeah, later we'll have a fruit snack, you better make good on that promise, right? It's the same with your emotions. They'll make sure of it. They won't let you forget. Just like a persistent two-year-old. Well, I hope this is helpful. And if you like anything you're hearing here, leave me a review. I don't think I have any reviews yet. And I haven't asked for reviews either. So here I am asking, if you like the podcast, give me some stars. Have a great week. See you next time.